So today, I want to talk about some things that maybe you can identify with me. How many are you in here today thankful for the rain yesterday? I mean, raise the hands. Thankful for the rain, right? And if you're like me, we've got this club, right? Like you know why I'm thankful for the rain. I think you do. Like you're thankful for the rain yesterday because the same way I'm thankful for the rain is that, you know, maybe you're a gardener. Maybe it's that time of year where you're those who maybe plant some food plots, right? I'm in that food plot category. So I planted my food plots last week and kind of, tilled the soil, did what I needed to do, threw down some seed, and I'm just like praying for rain, right? That's what we need. We need rain. So I was so thankful, so grateful that we had rain yesterday, last night. It just makes all the world a difference. So those of you in the category of maybe you're a gardener, maybe you just needed the rain, maybe you love to grow a lush green grass. Maybe you're like the opposite of just like, I just wish it would never rain. I wish I was in Arizona somewhere and just, I don't like the rain. I just like the sunshine all the time. But I appreciate growing. I appreciate growing. And so interesting, as we go through scripture, Jesus uses a ton of examples about growing. He uses a ton of examples, word pictures, parables he calls them. About the seed or seeds planted or a farmer or a field or whatever. And I want to talk about one of those parables today. It's in Mark chapter 4. It's a New Testament, second book of the New Testament, Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. We'll have it on the screen in front of you. But if you'd like to turn to your cell phones, if you'd like to grab a Bible, that's great too. And so this is a short, quick snippet parable that I want to share with you this morning. We're going to dissect it and take a look really what it means. Verse 26 in Mark chapter 4 says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and it grows. But he does not understand how this happens. Verse 28, the earth produces the crop on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of the wheat are formed. And then finally, the grain ripens. And soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Now, you're probably wondering, well, there's just no depth there. I mean, is there depth in that story? Jesus is just simply saying the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed. And so I wanted to look at this and take this really verse by verse to see what Jesus is really trying to tell us today and how we can apply this to our lives this morning. Well, you have the sower, you have the seed, right? You have this character in his parable of the farmer. And this farmer is the one who scatters the seed, who is sowing into the ground. Day after day, night after night, the farmer tends to his fields, patiently awaiting the growth of the seed. You see, the farmer represents anyone who shares the message of the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus is saying. Anyone who's a teacher of God's word, anyone who is sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it was Jesus himself, whether it was disciples, whether it is you or whether it was me, we are the farmer. We're the farmer that is scattering seed into the world. And that seed is the gospel, the good news, the story of Jesus Christ, the salvation of mankind, the beautiful, beautiful picture of salvation. And so as I think about that, there's those that representation that we have as Christians to say, you are a farmer. You're the one that should be scattering seed. And so as the parable keeps going, Jesus describes this mysterious growth, not understood at all how this mysterious growth takes place. The growth process is unknown. And so as I take a look back, it says night and day while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. And so there's like this mystery going on, right? I mean, we understand modern science and agriculture. We understand, especially in our community, that when you plant a seed, you put a little water in it. You've got to understand making the soil ready for it. But there's this thing that we cannot do. We cannot do no matter how hard we try, no matter how many chemicals, no how many fertilizers, nor how much lime you put on your ground. You cannot make something grow, right? You can't do anything to make it grow. It's a mystery. It's something that the farmer does not understand and does not figure out how one seed germinates and connects with the earth and connects and gets fed by various different sources. We don't understand the aspect of growth. And so Jesus is saying in this parable, this parallelism, if you will, from how the seed germinates and matures, he's saying we can't understand how a person's life is in the state of spiritual growth. We don't understand, we can't comprehend the work of God, just like how God created that seed to grow and mature. He's simply saying in our spiritual life as well, we're not sure. There's this mystery behind spiritual growth. While we can grow seeds of faith through preaching, we can grow seeds of faith through teaching, living out the gospel, it's ultimately God who brings about this spiritual transformation in people's lives. And so I know God spoke through Elmo, and he was, Elmo was like, I got to share something. And that's exactly the idea, is that we're not sure how miracles take place. We can look at Tim Umbright and simply say, yes, there's doctors in modern medicine that made things happen. But how in the world, when something takes place like that, we understand that it's God, the miracle of God. And so the way that God uses his word in the hearts of individuals, in the hearts of people, is mysterious. The parable goes on and talks about this progression of growth, right? So from that seed, from that the concept of planting the seed in the ground, there's this progressive growth that it illustrates. Jesus, for some reason, he added this to his parable. I mean, you got to be understanding, most of us in here aren't farmers. Some are. But he's teaching to a crowd of people, and he's got to be, I mean, they're more agricultural minded than we are. Let's just face it. Back in those days, everything was about farming. Everything was about seeds. Everything was about tilling the soil. And so you got to be understanding the audience in which Jesus was preaching to. If you look at all of Mark chapter 4, he's talking about different kinds of seeds. You've heard the story of the mustard seed, right? The story that is one of the smallest seeds there are, yet it produces one of the greatest bushes or trees so that birds can nest and people can find shade. So he's preaching to the choir, right? You guys understand that term? Like Jesus is teaching to people who are ag people. They're ag people. They get it. So why is he going through and describing the growth process of a seed? So as I was studying this, I was thinking about this myself. See, he goes, the first leaf, first a leaf blade pushes through the dirt. And then the heads of wheat are formed. And then finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests. So why do you think Jesus is teaching in this parable? Why is he speaking to a people that absolutely understand what a seed does? When I was reading this, I'm thinking about the spiritual element of that seed, and now that spiritual element of a plant. First, you have the growth that takes place. That very small seed, like we see on the screen this morning. I'm excited because my wife, she wanted a sunflower field, right? Sunflower field. That's cool. And so, I like any cheap guy, I went and bought bird seed, sunflower bird seed. I paid $15 or something for a 50-pound bag. She doesn't know this, by the way. Look at her face. So I'm out there going, hey, I'll give her a sunflower field. I buy the cheap stuff, the 15-pound bag or 50-pound bag of bird seed, and I'm just taking handfuls, doing this, throwing them everywhere, just taking handfuls, and we're going to get a crazy awesome sunflower patch, I hope. But my seeds right now look a little bit just like that, and they're working. It's happening. So, honey, it will happen. It will happen. She was thinking I'd go out there and get on my hands and knees and take one seed and go boop, boop. No way. There's no way I'm doing that. Who's got time for that stuff? So I'm just taking seed and just chucking it. Just throwing it everywhere. And thankfully, my field looks like that until the deer eat it. Yeah, that too. And so understanding that Jesus was giving us this example of first they'll turn into a leaf, and then they grow, and there's this growth process that takes place. But again, he teaches in parables just to equivalate it. Is that a word?
Sure.
To equivalate with the spiritual nature of humanity. And so as I'm thinking about this, as I'm looking, you see, the farmer can't force the seed to grow. He cannot force maturity. And so just as the farmer cannot force those seeds to sprout by sheer willpower, we cannot manipulate or control the process in spiritual growth in people. You see, we've got to trust in God's timing. We've got to trust in the process. When you see somebody that's a brand new Christian, understand that they're going to be rough around the edges. When you see somebody that's a Christian in general, understand that they're going to be rough around the edges. We are all in different states of growth. Amen? You agree? Yet, sometimes we as a church, we point the finger, don't we? We say, oh, look at how, what a bad Christian that person is. Or, man, I cannot believe they do that. You know, as a Christian, I don't want to be found in judgment to others who are maybe not in that the same growth pattern or in the same maturity level as I am. And so as Jesus was teaching this, we have to realize for some reason he was teaching an ag culture, the process of how a seed grows for some reason, and I think the reason is to check us, to make sure we as Christians aren't pointing the finger of judgment to say, I cannot believe they're still doing this. I cannot believe we're still doing that. Now, we're not talking about discipleship. We're not talking about sin this morning. We're not talking about the progression that needs to take place in a Christian's life, but I am talking about the fact that there is the progression, and we need to recognize that. And so as Christians, we need to give grace. We need to show grace and say, you know what? Jesus loves those people too. And if there's somebody who's a new Christian, maybe a baby Christian, maybe a Christian for 5-10 years, we have to realize, oh yeah, they're just a small little shoot coming out of the ground. And so for me, I that gives me a peace to know that, okay, I've got to step back a little bit and know that there's a process. There's a process. And so growth is ultimately God's issue, not ours. Yes, we can help. We can do what we can do. We can till the soil of a heart. We can help and disciple. We can throw the fertilizer feed on it. And yet God is that mysterious who provides the growth in his time. Our task is to simply faithfully sow the seed. That's our task. According to this passage, the farmer is the one who faithfully sows the seed. And so we need to understand what our role is as Christians. And so we see that as he understands and he understands and gives us this idea of progressive growth, there's that time for harvest. There's that time that when that seed ripens, there's that assurance that God did his work. And then the farmer can enjoy the fruit of his labor. And so we can be confident that God's going to bring to fruition the seeds of faith that you and I sow. I mean, you can be confident in the fact that you sow the seed, you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're discipling somebody, you're coming alongside of somebody in the sense of, I want to sow into you the gospel. You can be sure that God's going to give the growth. So overall, Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29 emphasizes this mystery, the sovereignty of God in the process of spiritual growth. So it encourages that we got to be patient. We've got to trust God in the process. And yet we need to be found faithful in sowing seeds into his kingdom. So I mentioned sunflowers earlier, right? I mean, sunflowers are a small, small seed. And I happen to have one in front of you this morning. I taped it to a post-it note so you kind of get an idea. I think we all have a brain, and so we know the size of a sunflower seed, right? Did you know that one sunflower seed can produce, multiply up to 2,000 seeds per plant? Somebody say, wow. Thank you. Isn't God cool? I mean, that's an amazing, amazing feat. 2,000 seeds from one small sunflower seed. And so as I think about that this morning, it is our job to scatter seed. It's our job to plant and to share and to pour into people. And some of you think, well, I can't possibly be a farmer. I can't possibly be that one who plants seeds. I couldn't possibly share with anybody else the good news of Jesus. I couldn't possibly. I'm here to tell you, you could. It just takes one seed. It just takes one seed. All God needs is you. You are the seed, and you can be used by God to multiply the kingdom. Did you know that? You can be that representation of the seed, and you can be used by God. You could be that farmer, so that seed can grow and multiply. You see, the purpose of the seed is to give itself up in death, so it has to die, it has to give itself so it can produce many times over. And so I'm not asking you to die today, but I think sometimes we got to die to self because our selfish ambition takes over and we want to do what we want to do instead of planting seeds. We feel like we should, we call it, is to Christ. You see, that's the Great Commission. All God needs is a willing vessel. So may we be found faithful, sowing the seed, praying for a harvest, and just kind of saying, Lord, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I look to you for the growth. John Wesley once said this. He said, give me 100 men who love nothing but God and hate nothing but sin, and I will shake the whole world for Christ. Isn't that good? That's good. Give me 100 men or women. Give me 100 men who love nothing but God and hate nothing but sin, and I will shake the whole world for Christ. So if I were to kind of change that up a little bit, according to our scripture today and applying it to that, give me 100 people from Dighton Church to be farmers. To be farmers. And I believe if we were farmers sowing seed, tilling soil, cultivating, feeding, fertilizing, doing our part and just sitting back watching God provide the growth. And that's our goal. I'm not saying let's get a bigger church, let's get more people in the seats. I'm saying spiritual growth. We want to see disciples of Jesus making disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus. Disciples making disciples making disciples. That's this. Just one seed at a time. And let's see how God can make that and transform that one little seed. So Lord, today as we give you our lives sacrificially, as we're thinking about our farming methods, our who we are we giving of ourselves to honor you and to spread the seed of the gospel? I pray, God, that we would be used by you as a church, as individuals in their own spheres of influence, at our workplace, in our schools, in our families, in our homes. I pray, God, that you would allow us to do mighty, mighty things for you. We thank you, God. We praise you. We stand together. Let's just give God thanks today and worship. I want to encourage you this morning, if there's something that that you just need to give God praise for, use your lungs. Use your lungs to give him praise. It doesn't matter how good you sing. Use your breath that he has given you, that gift. Let's just give worship to the Lord today.